from Noble Sports. Today, I'm privileged to have Danny Trainer of the Oregon Ravens with me. She plays quarterback. Danny, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
You know, another day in paradise. It's almost Friday, so can't complain.
Yeah, I can't complain either. It's also my Friday.
Nice. I got one more day.
A long week. I'm excited.
I'm just coming off of a 5-day vacation almost, so I can't complain really. So
yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so I'm excited we're finally getting to do this, and you are my first Ravens player to be on the podcast, so I'm excited.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I'm honored.
Yeah, and it was
Thank you for having me.
It was a ton of fun to watch you play live, too, because I was one of the commentators for the Vegas-Oregon game, and though it was kind of a lopsided score, it didn't really tell the full story. You guys played amazing. The score was not indicative to how you guys played.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, that was a tough loss for us because we knew we could have, like, you know, we were, like, in the humble zone the whole time. And so just not being able to get us in the end zone was tough for me. But, you know, you live and you learn. We were so close every time.
And that's one. Yeah, that was one of Vegas's. Vegas has a really good defense. I mean, I'm sure you have your whole opinion of how the selection went down for the playoffs. I mean, it may be a little biased, but I think Vegas should have gotten the last spot just because they have the better record. But that's just my two cents.
Yeah, the way they pick is interesting. I do understand that, like, Denver had a harder roster to play up against. I get that. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's like when you go into the season, it's almost like guaranteed if you have a 4-2 record that you'll go. But
yeah,
I don't know.
When it comes to strength of schedule, I understand that it plays an important key.
Yeah.
But after records, I feel like records is the first indicator of a team's success. But
yeah.
Neither here or there. I've talked to a couple of the Vegas players, and they're all upset. But I feel like you guys.
Oh, I'm sure that we would be upset too if we had that. If we had that, and you know, like, it's understandable. Those feelings are valid.
Yeah, but you live and you learn, and
yeah.
It was a really great season. I like what the league has done. I thought WScore was an awesome. I purchased it, and I thought it was really cool. And to be able to rewatch all those games, it was a ton of fun. So.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, just as, you know, a player in general, but I mean, I've watched all of our games back 100 times. So yeah, to have it available. And then the fact that they partnered up with Watch Game Film too, is just like, it was very convenient. And yeah, I think the WNFC is doing really great big things, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. And, you know, I'm just excited to see what happens in the future.
I think there's a bright future for the WNFC and for women in football, especially, because
I agree. I can feel it.
Yeah, so can I, and so can Penny. Man, she went to every Vegas home game, and holy Toledo, you would have thought she wanted to strap on and get onto the field. So.
Oh, I bet. That's so cool.
But I agree with you. I think to this point, it's just a positive uphill train going forward. I feel like there's so much momentum with women in sports, especially, that I don't think before too long you guys are going to start making that money, as you should be.
Yeah, I am hoping that's where it's heading for sure. I mean, I don't know how long my body will allow me to play, so I'm, you know, gonna do what I can and go as hard as I can for as long as I can. I don't know if, like, while I'm doing it we'll get paid, but maybe, you know, I don't know. I would love that, but I don't know if it's like that close yet. But I guess we're
still. I mean, there's just been so much positive.
There's
looking at the playoff selection show, there was, I think, at least 1,000 people that watched it live.
Oh, wow.
And
that's,
I don't know how
amazing.
Many more watched it after the fact, or
yeah.
So, but for, because I watched it all, I will say they did drag it out a little bit too long. I would have probably condensed it to maybe, because I'm studying marketing. So from a marketing perspective, you don't want to lose interest. But for the most part, it was really good. So
yeah,
be interesting to see what happens, especially with the whole championship playoff weekend coming this next week.
I can't wait for that. I'll be there actually watching. I didn't make All Pro, but I'm still going because they're having an event. Well, a couple of my teammates made it, but they have this event that anyone can sign up for, and it's like a position specific event where they have like the best coaches in the league there, and like there's that NFL coach Jennifer King. She's gonna be there as well. So I took the opportunity to sign up, and I'm gonna go. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I gotta get my name out there somehow. Like, you know, having a losing record and then not having the best stats, like, it's not the best way to get your name out there. So hoping I can show up and show out and maybe make a name for myself in that way.
So are you going to Texas, or are you going to like the Pacific Championship? So like in Utah?
Yeah, no, I'm going to Texas.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because a couple of my teammates made the All-Pro team, so we're driving down there, and I'm going.
Yeah, the O'Connor sisters. I felt like when we were watching you guys play, we were calling their names.
Oh, always.
Constantly.
Oh, yeah, they're a big staple on this team.
And I actually got to interview, I know she's not related to them, but Kylie. And I felt so bad talking to her because I almost felt like she was about to cry, and I'm like,
It's
okay. And I get it. As a former athlete, like, it gets intense. I understand. And you never want to get a goose egg. I mean, that's like one of the worst feelings. I've been on both sides where I've blown out teams and I've been blown out. And personally, I don't like it either way. I think it's more fun when the games are close. So
yeah, I agree with that. Like our Seattle game where we beat them 14-7, that was like the funnest game I've played in a really long time. But yeah, that Vegas game was really, really tough on all of us. Especially because like what you said, like the score doesn't show how tough that game was and how hard we played, like, and how like well together our offense was. It was just like we just couldn't finish, and I was taking big hits that game and getting back up somehow, and still thinking about it, I can't even like it was a good game though. It was good. We, you know, there was like, it got like chippy at times, and it was competitive, and it was a good game.
Yeah, Vegas is one of Vegas's three quarterbacks that ended up playing. We're taking massive hits. Marissa, from what I heard, she dislocated her shoulder and then came back and threw a touchdown to her sister like a few plays later.
Nice. I'm
like that. That's a little intense.
Yeah.
I give props. Oh, yeah. Like the threshold, I don't know if the threshold of pain is different, but man, some of the hits that I've seen you take, I'm like, me at 6'2". I don't want to take those hits.
Yeah, well, I want to say our first drive of that game, it was like the third or fourth play I took a hit where I hit my head right onto the ground. And it actually, like, I just got back from the chiropractor. It actually gave me whiplash. Like, I have whiplash.
Jeez. Still.
And then I took a hit out of bounds where she hit me helmet to helmet. And that rocked my shit a little bit. Like, I just got rocked that game. I was taking big hits.
Yeah, I was always the one delivering the big hits. I hated playing offense. I was a middle linebacker, so I loved hitting hits.
Yeah,
getting those big hits. So
yeah. Well, my defense. Because this is only my second season. So
you played really good. I will say, I'm pretty sure we called your number quite a few times. There was a couple, like, you had a ton of sustainable drives.
Yeah.
And then they would pull you out of quarterback. And I'm like, what are they doing? Like, and they put someone else in, and it didn't make quite sense to me, but because you had the momentum. You had a lot of momentum, and then they would pull you out for like a play or two, and then I'm like, that just killed your momentum. What are you doing? Like,
You know, that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, I think that coming in as my second year, I had a lot of expectations on me, and I think maybe I just didn't live up to them, and I don't know. Like, I don't, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, but on my end, the way it felt was like, because I had gotten pulled in the LA game too, so, and I didn't understand why, and, you know, it's just, that's just football. It's the game. They try to, you know, coaches want to do different things. They want to try out different things. They want to put you at different places, and you just got to roll with the punches and be adaptable and, you know, do what they say.
Absolutely. I think when I played football in high school, that was about the extent of my football career, because I was injury prone, and I decided that I didn't want to be crippled at 30 years old. So I called it quits pretty early on, but they put me in at quarterback one or two plays, and I'm like, I'm a linebacker. I can't throw to save my life. I can take hits, but I'm not trying to run or throw.
Well, linebacker is my defensive position that I practice. Like, I actually, in the San Diego game, because we lost by like 50, 56 or something stupid like that. They kicked our ass, but they actually let me go in for the first play ever on defense since I started playing. And I actually, my first play, I got a tackle for loss. I blitzed and broke through and got her in the backfield. So that was cool.
Was it AG that you tackled?
No, it wasn't. It was their other running back, 26.
Oh, she's really good. She's too. Good she too. She gets overshadowed by AG. I mean, I've had AG on my podcast. She's
have you?
One of the nicest people, but man, she's so elusive to tackle. Like,
oh yeah, I know.
I feel like I'm watching like Darren Sproles like reincarnated. And her, like,
yeah, if she was in and I would have tackled her, I think I probably would have felt real good about myself. But yeah,
hey, tackle for a loss is still awesome.
yeah. I mean, my first like defensive play ever. Like I said, I've only played 12 games now. Like it's my second season in. Like, you know, I don't have a lot of experience. I play quarterback, like, you know, so I don't even practice, like, I don't really even practice in practice, like, the defensive stuff because they don't want to, like, hurt me or whatever. So it's like,
yeah,
going in and going up against their starting O-line and breaking through was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I took a hit that game against them where they hit me so hard I literally coughed up blood. I have a sprained rib.
Jeez. Yeah, it's...
They are scary. They're such a good team. I have nothing but respect for them.
Yeah, I expect them to run the table a little bit. I think it'll be a good matchup between them and Utah. I mean, the two games they played against each other were very close.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
hoping they win. You know, I'm a big fan of AG. I'm a big fan of Martin. So it's like I've been watching them both for the last two seasons, and it's like, you know, I'm a big fan. I have a lot of respect for both of them. I hope they win. Like, I feel like they're kind of the underdog. They've lost twice to Utah. It's hard to beat a team three times.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost impossible. I mean, there are some instances where it does happen, but
yeah,
in most cases it doesn't. It is extremely hard because you know how they play, and
yeah,
you've played them already twice, so it just depends on the momentum. But
yeah, I don't know, man. I think San Diego has that dog mentality right now. I think they're gonna do what they can to win that game. I think. I don't know. I think we're going to be seeing them in the championship.
Yeah, I could see them beating Texas. I think it'd be fun to watch Texas.
Oh, that would be. That would be.
I hate for saying that.
Well, what about the Panthers, though? I could see the Panthers beating them too. Gore is a really, really good quarterback, and she knows that team because she played on them on that team.
Even the Mambas, for it being their first season, they played really good. Yeah. Everyone that made the playoffs,
yeah,
I mean, from 1 to 7. They were all super duper competitive. That number eight seed, I'm not dissing on Vegas or Denver, but they're kind of like the stepchild in the playoff picture.
The underdog.
Yeah. The super underdog. So you never know. Maybe Denver will surprise everyone and beat Texas. So.
They've got a really good quarterback.
They have Jamie Brand. She was the star receiver for Vegas last year, and I think she did pretty good things this year too. So
yeah, I'm just a big fan of every team, honestly. Like, even, you know, Vegas and LA, like those games always get chippy. In Seattle, they always get chippy, but like, there's no hard feelings. You know, it's football. Like,
well, especially Seattle, that's got to be like a Pacific Northwest rivalry.
Oof, man, the rivalry with Seattle is crazy. Like, if you can hear the stuff that's being said, like, it's wild. I don't necessarily hear a lot of it because, you know, I'm the quarterback, and I'm more like, I'm not. It's a very lonely position. I'm not necessarily like one on one with anybody. And so I just hear about it, like, from my team on the sidelines after a drive. Or, like, I see it. Like, they've done little chippy shit, like, kick people on the, like, while they're down. Like, literally, like, kick them. But, like, stuff like that. But, like I said, it's football. It's competitive. Emotions get riled up and, you know, things happen. It's nothing but love. No bad blood.
Yeah, that's usually how it is when it comes to sports. The yeah. 60 minutes or whatever it is, it's competitive. I was never really a dirty player in football.
Me
but
neither.
Basketball,
me
neither. I would throw elbows because I was a power forward.
Yeah, basketball's a little bit different. I definitely would talk my shit in basketball for sure. But, yeah, I definitely play as – like, I play pretty clean. I just
– yeah, it happens. And yeah. One of these days, so I'm good friends with Lofa Tatupu. He was a all-pro middle linebacker for the Seahawks.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to convince him to go to because he's still in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to convince him to go to Seattle and maybe get some of his NFL friends to start supporting other teams. But
yeah,
he's a
busy
dude.
Would be awesome.
He coaches – he's one of the linebacker coaches for the Seahawks right now. So I'm like, yeah, I can't – it's – it's all the camps right now, so he's pretty busy.
Oh yeah,
but one of these days, he said he'll go. So
yeah, I think that's what we need is just support from the NFL, like for real. Like I feel like that will really get this going.
It's
just more support.
If and I know this may be a taboo topic, but if the WNFC and the WFA were to merge. As much as it's two competing mm-hmm. leagues, I think it would bring, I don't know, I think it would bring more exposure because the WFA has a lot of connections with the NFL.
Really?
I mean, Lois Cook, she's probably one of the biggest named players in the WFA. She plays for the DC Divas. She's big on TikTok.
Oh.
She was actually my very first interview. My very first, when I started focusing it, my daughter found her on TikTok and she had like 100,000 followers. And I'm like, you know,
oh, wow.
You miss any shot, you don't shoot. So I asked her and she's like, yeah, let's do it. And that kind of sparked this whole journey of 2 years now interviewing players, getting their stories out. So,
oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah,
I'm really
awesome.
I'm really new. I'm really new to all this women's football stuff. Like, I don't know a lot. Like I said, it's only my second season. Like, there's not a lot that I know about. So, like, I don't know much about the WFA. I found the WNFC through a TikTok. So,
awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm learning as I go.
We can talk about that in a little bit, but I like to ask kind of all the same questions to get everyone's story out because everyone's story is unique when it comes to playing sports.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
What the first question I love to ask is what was your why or who was your who to starting to play football? Like, why did you start playing football in the first place?
So I actually started playing football in the third grade.
Awesome.
I played with the boys, and my dad was actually the coach for the youth football team over here in my hometown, Aloha High School. And both of my older brothers played. And so what happened was I think I was like 6 or 7 years old. And I was on the cheerleading team. And I remember going with my dad, the boys went and got their gear and I went with the girls to go cheer. And literally, I think I did it for like 2 weeks and I came home and I was like, Dad, I don't want to cheer. I want to play football. So he signed me up the next year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was very supportive. There was a girl on his team who played running back who was a beast. She was a starting running back. And so I think that kind of prepped him for that almost and was like, well, if she can do it, Danny can do it. I'm going to sign her up and we're going to do the damn thing. So, yeah, he let me play.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And it just kind of sparked it from there. So third grade on, you fell in love with the sport and fell in love
yeah.
with the game.
Yeah, my dad is a big Dallas Cowboy fan. He loves football. It's his life. He actually coached this year with us with the Ravens. So I didn't play my fourth grade year, but fifth, sixth, and seventh I did. I didn't play any offense. I only played defense. I was a defensive end. So playing quarterback like these last 2 years is like completely new to me. Like I'm literally learning on the fly. But defense was kind of like my forte growing up.
Oh, that's awesome. Still,
yeah.
And I love hearing these. I call them origin stories because that's essentially what they are. They're your origin story.
Oh, totally. Almost like
superheroes. Well, I mean, in my daughter's eyes, and as a girl dad, I really appreciate it. She does look up to all of you. Like,
that's awesome. I love that.
We talked a little bit about how on Saturday I took her to the Aces game, and when they gave us like a poster of each of the players, and whenever one of the players would score, she'd look on the poster board and point to the player and say, "Dad, that's her." I'm like, "You're right, that is her." Like,
she's smart.
She's something. She's something else. She's built like me, but has her mom's personality, so she's gonna be big. I think they said she's gonna be around 6 feet, 6'1". She's gonna be a tank. She already is.
Lucky. I wish I was 6'1". I'd be in the WNBA.
Man, they could ball the WNBA. It was also my first Aces game, and I mean, Vegas is Vegas. If they don't win the championship again this year, I will be shocked with how well they played.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, it's crazier things have happened. So,
true.
Well, then what? So, how did you get started in the WNFC? I know you kind of said you found a TikTok account. How did that whole process start for you?
Yeah. So, I actually saw like the Arizona Prowlers account. It got like 100,000 views or something. So, it just showed up on my For You page. And I was like, what is this? Like, I didn't even know like women's football existed. Like, I had no idea. And so, I Googled it. I was like, I wonder if Oregon has a team. And at this time, it was like right in the middle of COVID. I want to say it was like October 2020 when I found it. And I mean, everybody struggled during that time. I was struggling with my mental health at the time. I was kind of like a couch potato, and I was on leave at work and wasn't really doing much with my body and taking care of myself. And so I was just like, all right, well, there's literally a Oregon Ravens tryout in 2 weeks. I'm going to go. And I showed up and I was so nervous, and I forgot one of my cleats. I only brought one cleat, and one of the girls let me use one of hers. I tried out, made the team, and then that's that.
That's awesome. Yeah. And the tryout days are so cool. I got to help Vegas a couple years ago, and just to see the amount of interest, like before I found out about the WNFC and the WFA, the only notion that I had of women in football was the lingerie football league. And personally, I'm not a huge fan of it. I feel like it's demeaning.
Me neither.
But I get why they do it. Coach Carey, the head coach for Vegas, that's how she got her start, was in the lingerie football league. So,
you got to find it where you can, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
she got the opportunity and she's kind of ran with it. And as unfortunate as it is with these leagues that are popping up now, because I mean, I'll say probably the WNFC and the WFA are the two top tier leagues. I mean, there are other ones. And the WFA is interesting. They're starting an international league as well. They're having teams from, I want to say, in Europe. And then they kind of play their games. And then the best team in Europe is going to come and play. Because how the WFA is set up, it's almost like soccer, where they have three divisions. You win, you get promoted to a topper or to the next division, and if you come in last place, you get demoted. So Division 1 is where all the big teams are, and then Division 2, Division 3 divisions. So, and I think they have like 50 teams. So they have quite a few teams in their league.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Like I said, I do not know a lot. Like, I know a lot about the WNFC because, you know, I'm in it, but the WFA, I don't know a lot about.
Yeah, and I will say I am careful because originally I was going to work with Vegas, and then because I don't specify which league I support all women in sports. It kind of, they were told I was not a good fit to be used just because it's a conflict of interest. I get it.
Yeah,
from a business side, it made me mad. I'm not going to lie, because I want you guys to excel in sports. But
yeah, for sure.
So when they asked me to commentate, I was stoked. I'm like, are you sure you can touch me now? Are you sure? Like, you had issues a couple years ago, so. But.
Dude, my dad talks about the commentators for that game so much because you guys were like saying such nice things about me. He's like, the Vegas commentators love you. They love you. Like, he loves you guys.
Well, I appreciate it. And I saw what some of the other commentators were saying about opposing players and teams. And I'm like, really? Like, you're making it. I mean, as awesome as it would be to have women commentators, I think that should be the next step going forward.
Yeah.
Because some of these commentators, I was just hearing what they were saying, and I was mortified. I'm like, no, like, yeah. don't say that.
There's been a few things where I'm like, okay, this needs to be addressed, for sure. I agree.
The only problem, we had our very first game against LA, they never gave us an updated roster, so we were going off of an old roster, and someone kept coming in and saying, you're saying the player's number wrong. That's not this player. That's not that player. I'm like, I'm sorry. This is the sheet that the WNFC gave us. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I felt bad because that's one thing that I try to pride myself on is names, just because that is unique, that it makes a person who they are. So I get why they were upset. There's only so much you can do, though.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to roll with the punches.
Yeah. So a lot of my questions for this podcast come from my parents, because my mom is like my biggest fan. I'm sure you can relate with your dad.
Yes, and my mom too. She's at every game, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My dad doesn't understand English amazing. He'll come to football games, but it's his second language. My dad's originally from Chile in South America, so.
Oh, wow.
Soccer is the first notion there. So,
yep.
But he's learning. He's learning for me.
That's awesome.
The question my mom likes to hear is, how do you juggle? Because obviously right now, while playing in the WNFC, it is a professional league, but you're not paid. So how do you juggle your daytime job versus your alternate personality, almost of a football player?
You know, it is definitely difficult. It's such a huge commitment to play at this level. Especially like being the quarterback and a captain and a leader of this team, I do feel like I have to dedicate more of my time. So I do work. I work a full-time job. It's Monday through Friday. I get off at 4:30. And so our practices are usually 3 days a week. And I go to work. I change either when I get to practice or before, and I just head right to practice. I always get there an hour early. And I just kind of like, I just make time for what's important.
Yeah, it does have to be difficult being able to juggle it all. And is your work pretty understanding when you have like away games and whatnot?
Yeah, like my boss is literally like the coolest person in the world. She will approve any time off that I ask for. So yeah, I'm very blessed and I'm very lucky. This job has been able to help me succeed in this league and, you know, grow as a player and a person. Because I'm someone who, like, if I'm in it, I'm 100% committed. Because I don't only just, like, go to practice. You know, we do all this extra stuff on the days off. We're watching film. We're, you know, we go to this NFL player who runs a gym over here. We go to him on our off days. So it's, like, it's not just the 3 days a week. It's, like, it's every day. It's my mornings. It's what I'm eating. It's, you know, it's everything. So, yeah, my boss is awesome. She's very, very flexible and actually she comes to my games too, so she's very supportive as well.
That's awesome. And that's really what the WNFC needs, is more support. Like,
I agree.
Like Lois Cook, I know I kind of talked about her. She shared a post on Facebook about how it takes 2 seconds to like a post that a player posts. It takes like another 2 seconds to comment. And then just the benefits of commenting, sharing the post, you get that name out there. Cause a lot of people don't know. And some people are nice about it. And they're obviously the ignorant people that are like, oh, I didn't know. And then they have their sarcastic, stupid comment, which.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Get a lot of that.
I used to fight them, but now I'm like, it's not worth my energy.
Yeah, you got to let the haters hate. If you don't have haters, then you're not doing it right anyway. So let them do what they want. Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, I'd be promoting, dog. Like, I'm at work telling everybody about our games. Like, tell them to follow us. Like, I tell everyone. I'm always wearing Ravens gear. Like, I do what I can. I'm doing my part to try and get our name out there.
Slowly and surely, I want to start collecting all the team's gear because, like, yeah, I'm in Vegas and I'm gonna root for Vegas, but
Yeah.
I'm the kind of person that I love great football, and the WNFC promotes and plays great football. It
Yeah,
really is
it
entertaining.
really does.
Yeah, there's some blowouts, but 90% of the games are so
Yeah.
closely fought, and they're interesting. I mean, even the blowouts can be interesting in times because the score isn't always an indicator of how the game is played. Obviously, with the Vegas
Yeah.
and Oregon game, it wasn't. So,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean we played as hard as we could to the last whistle, so I mean I feel like that shows you something when you're losing like that and you still play hard, like
and
it's just about being
most of the points Vegas scored were off of lucky bounces, and that's not a diss on Vegas. I'm not,
consistent.
I want to clarify, I'm not making fun of anyone, but there was just a couple of lucky bounces, and that's the game of football. It's a game of inches, and the game of
Yep.
inches was in their favor.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I
So
agree.
the next question I have from you comes from my uncle. He uncle-in-law, it's my wife's uncle. He also hosts a podcast. It's called the Sportlight Podcast. It's kind of cool. He focuses more on the high school athletes.
Oh, cool.
He has big name players. He's had a lot of NFL players, a lot of NBA players, stuff like
Oh,
that
that's
come on
sick.
just to talk about, and it's a whole entire program. It's mainly based in Utah, but they do travel. It's giving these kids that are the stars in high school a chance to maybe get out of your norm. Don't be just the typical jock. Be nice to everyone, include everyone, and just kind of using your spotlight that you have as a high school player
Yeah.
to be something positive. So he had an Olympic gold medalist on his podcast, and he asked the question, and I've always loved it. I've kind of tweaked it a little bit, but he asked, so how I ask it is, if you were in front of an audience and the question was posed, why should people support women in sports? What would your answer be?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. One, just equality in general. I think women can do and be just as good as any man in any sport. I think that there is a stigma around women's sports where people just like say it's like boring or that we don't work as hard or like whatever it is that these stupid people are saying. Like, if you just watch one game of the WNFC or one game of the WNBA, people don't even give it a chance. So if you just watch it and see how hard and how much harder we have to work than males do this industry, like you would see the grit and the commitment that we have, you know, to be a professional athlete. I think it's important for the generation coming up that, you know, the older generations can be susceptible to change and be susceptible to allowing women to step into themselves. It's important for young girls to see their dads and their uncles and their grandpas supporting things like this because, you know, that builds up their confidence for when they're older and when they want to experiment with maybe football or basketball or whatever it is that they want to do. And like, I feel like a lot of the men who think these silly things about women's sports have daughters. And in the future, maybe they'll want to play football and then they're getting hated on, and then they're going to change, you know, their perspective is going to change. So I think it's all about just changing perspectives and taking a stigma off of just being a woman in general and just let us be humans and let us do what we
Absolutely.
want.
That's actually one of my biggest pet peeves when I see all these negative comments and you click on the profile and they have little girls in their profile picture,
Yeah.
or they're married to women, or they
Yep.
have daughters or sisters. And I'm like, what message are you sending that?
Exactly. And that's what it's all about is the message you send. Like, whether I think you need to leave this earth leaving a mark, whether it was on one person or a million people, as long as it's positive. Like you Absolutely. Need you just need to you need to figure your shit out on your own and stop projecting your weird things just because you can't play or whatever it is. Like, just be better.
Absolutely. And I mean, as crappy as COVID was, because it was a crappy thing, that's kind of what got my podcast started. Originally, I started as just a place that, because obviously I'm washed, I'm retired, I don't play sports anymore. I'm not as skinny and fit as I once was. But as obsessed as I am with sports, I wanted a way to just kind of vent and share my two cents, because that's all it's worth. And then it slowly... The whole thing with the March Madness happened and Donna Prince.
Yeah.
I'm like, as a girl dad, I have to be better. I have to make changes. And I'm the kind of person that I'm not just gonna say one thing and do something else. I'm gonna put actions to those words. And so that's when I started reaching out, because it's awesome. Female professional athletes are a whole lot more willing to give interviews. It's not, I don't have to jump through as many hoops, and I'm like, I love it. Because all I want to do is share people's stories. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, we want to get our name out there. We don't get opportunities like this all the time, you know?
And it's been
like,
fun.
People like you are literally going to be the reason this shit changes. So, like, any opportunity I have to speak to someone who's willing to listen, I'm going to do it. So thank you.
And let your teammates know. I mean, as much as I'd like this to be my job, I only get paid a penny per stream. So it's a work in progress, but
yeah, hey man,
it's not paying the bills yet. Yeah.
It just might one day.
Well, and I'm studying marketing, and the end goal, I mean, being in Vegas, I would love to get into sports marketing. I'm already trying to reach out. So I'm going to Purdue right now, their online school and their career specialist.
Oh, nice.
I have 4 terms left, so 4 10-week terms. So I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And
you're close.
The career specialist is like, well, what are some interests that you want? And I'm like, could you set up a meeting with like the Aces, with the WNBA, and kind of gave a list. So she's going to start reaching out. So hopefully.
Oh, that's so cool.
I think it'd be awesome to work for the WNBA. I think it's an awesome product. And what people don't understand, like you said, there's that negative stigma. You guys aren't trying to take away from the men, and vice versa. I don't think the men are really trying, at least professional athletes aren't trying to take away from you guys either. You just want to be able to play.
Yeah, that's the biggest exactly. thing.
And you see Steph Curry, especially how supportive he is of the WNBA. There's a laundry list of names of pro athletes that are like, yeah, let's go and keep supporting. So, and I think that it is trending in a positive direction. I'm excited to see.
I think so too. It's getting there.
Slowly and surely, unfortunately. Yes.
Just got to work hard. It's all about the grind. So, you know.
Yeah. So one of the last questions I like to ask is, if you could give a piece of advice or multiple pieces of advice to, let's say, my daughter, Penelope, or the little girls that are watching you play and wanting to do it in the future, what would that advice be?
I would say that no matter how many times you get knocked down, always get back up. Because especially in football and just in life in general, things are going to break you down and you're gonna want to quit and give up. And I feel like football really, for me personally, has taught me to get back up on my feet and shake it off. And so I think that can just relate to all aspects in life, because you know your fate is in your hands and you're the master of it, and you just got to keep rolling.
That's awesome. And one day, hopefully, when my daughter's older, she can listen to all these episodes and really understand. We're actually in the process of me and her, we're going to make a podcast, just the two of us, and kind of get the life view of a four-year-old. There's a dad and daughter that do it on TikTok, and I was
I was just going to say that Sawyer, right? Is that her name, Sawyer?
Yeah, and Seth, I think, is her dad's name.
I love them.
So cute, and I'm Because she always wants to come in and she always wants to talk. She has so much to say. So I'm like, even if it is a 15-minute recording of just her sharing her life story for the day, I think it'll be a ton of fun. So
yeah, well, you should do that. And if you ever have her interview, I will be interviewed by her. I would love to do that.
I'll definitely keep you posted. With my schooling coming towards an end, that's just kind of been kicking my butt. So I'm like,
yeah, I bet.
Priorities, as much as I want to focus more on the podcast.
Yeah, I bet.
Where I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, I'm like, I just need to graduate. I just need to get it done. So,
amen. Get done what you need to get done.
So the bonus question I like to ask, I forgot to ask you this earlier. So in the two seasons that you've played for the Ravens, what has been your most memorable play? Or multiple, if you have multiple memorable play.
Well, I just scored my first touchdown in the Seattle game, our home game. So that was like a really, really good feeling. And it actually happened off of an error. We were supposed to run to the left side and my running back went to the right side. So I kind of had to just like make it up on the fly. And so that was definitely memorable for me. Just like as a play, but like the whole season has been, I feel like every play has been memorable just because I'm learning so much. Like when I'm in the game, like, I don't know. It's just, it moves at like 1,000 miles per hour and they keep telling me it's going to slow down. And I'm like, okay, when is this going to slow down? Cause I feel like it's moving 100 miles per hour, but I would definitely say like my first touchdown for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah. I feel like you always remember your first big moment.
Yeah. It was cool.
It's offensive or defensive. So.
Yeah. And you know, we were struggling to even get in the end zone just all year, and to get in there, just like the support and love that I got from my team, like everyone celebrated and dabbed me up, and you know, like the whole team did. So like I felt a lot of love. I think they know that I've been kind of like putting the whole team, just like the weight of the team on my shoulders, and been trying my best. And I think they all saw how hard I was working. And so for me to score a touchdown and us win that game, like I just think everyone was like, you know, just happy for me. And that was another reason it was so memorable, because just everyone just gave me nothing but love after.
That's like awesome.
It was a really, really good feeling. It was a very high, high that I had.
Yeah, I could imagine. And I expect great things from Oregon next season.
I don't know too.
If you got to watch the playoff preview, but they were hyped for you guys. The commentators, they kept saying they nothing but positive things. And I'm like, yep, watching you guys play live, I can see where, I mean, even like the team that finished in last place, I feel like every team made positive trends
toward
being better. So it'll be exciting to see what happens next year.
Oh, yeah. The Oregon Ravens are going to be a force to be reckoned with, like, for sure. Like, I feel like we've got the mentality. We just do, all of our team are like second year, first year players. So it just has to come together. We're just building something. And, you know, losing isn't always a loss, and it's just building character, and it's building grit, and it's building a fight, and it put a chip on people's shoulder. And so, you know, that does something to you. So I think next year is going to be pretty, pretty good.
I have a feeling that if you play Vegas next year, which is probably a high likely.
I'm hoping we do.
Because Vegas is undefeated against you guys. I feel like it's going to change.
It's going to change.
As painful as it is to say that, I think there's going to be some positive changes to that. And I think it'll be fun.
I think the Oregon Ravens are going to be talked about a lot next year.
Absolutely. And you're going to be leading the helm.
Yes. So that's the plan.
So before we go, is there anyone you'd like to shout out?
Like from my team?
Anyone. It could be anyone. I've literally had someone shout out their dog. So it is what it is.
Well, I just want to shout out the whole Oregon Ravens team, the whole squad. You know, those girls are like, that's family. So shout out the Ravens. Shout out to my mom. that's probably all. Just shout out. Shout out to the whole league. Everybody listening.
And how can they find your social media? Obviously, I'll tag you in the post, but if they don't have Instagram or Facebook or whatnot, how can they find you?
Yeah, it's just Danny Trainer 22. Danny is spelled D-A-N-N-Y.
Perfect.
Yep.
I will have this episode ready in about the next hour or so, just depending on how long it takes to process, and then I'll send you it over.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Well, thank you again. Thank you so much. And seriously, if any of your teammates want to come on and share a story, send them my way. I'd be happy to have them.
Oh, hell yeah, I will. I'll talk to a few of them tonight. I think I'm going to hang out with some of them. So
awesome. Well, thank you again, and good luck next season. I'm excited to see what happens with the Ravens.
Hell yeah. Thank you so much. Me too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.